مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, I welcome you back to our program in which I shall be discussing, inshallah, the biography of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and touch upon those events which transpired throughout the life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now, no doubt there are many virtues, many blessings in sending durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam himself has stated that the one to be the closest to me on the day of judgment shall be he who recited the most durood, the most praise, the most salutations and salat upon me in this world. My dear Islamic brothers, let's make it a habit that we send constantly and consistently send durood upon the greatest of mankind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Let's recite sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now, during this program, these episodes of ours, we have recently spoken about the special characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have spoken about the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the early childhood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Previously, we have learned that the Prophet ﷺ was initially, from being a baby, was fostered and cared for by Halimatu Sa'diyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she was the foster mother of the Prophet ﷺ, and then not returned to the mother up until he was approximately 4 years of age. This is when the chest of the Prophet ﷺ had been cut and his heart had been washed by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam himself and a black dot removed. And this made Halimah Sa'diyah radhiyallahu anha worried, and for this reason she had returned the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salam back to his beloved mother Hazrat Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam had been returned to his beloved mother Hazrat Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was looked after by her. But there was also another individual who had played a special role throughout the entire life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, this is only one individual we find, and her name is Ummi Ayman. Yes, my dear Islamic brothers, she was a slave girl. Now, she is very special. Why is she so special? The reason is that Hazrat Ummi Ayman radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she witnessed the entire life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, from the birth of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam all the way up until the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had left this world for the eternal abode. Throughout the entire life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was that one individual who had lived with the Prophet and also remained alive. Subhanallah. So throughout the whole life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam initially was returned at the age of approximately 4, it was Hazrat Ummi Ayman radhiyallahu ta'ala anha who would look after and take care for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. Now, Ummi Ayman, the slave girl herself, she narrates and she explains to the people many years, and this happened after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, she told the companions about the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says that when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam was at the age of approximately 6, so when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approximately 6 years of age. So now we need to think about this, that Hazrat Halimah al-Sa'diyah had returned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the age of approximately 4. At the age of approximately 6, this journey of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes place, meaning 2 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was back under the care of his mother, approximately 2 years. It has been stated that Hazrat Amina, Umm Ayman, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these three individuals, they had travelled to what was known in them days as a city called Yathrib. Yathrib means a place of disease, a place of illness. This is that same place which will later become known as Madinatul Manawwara, which we all know today again as Madinatul Manawwara. So at that time, this was called Yathrib. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ayman, and Hazrat Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha go to meet some of the relatives or the maternal cousins of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of the relatives of Hazrat Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. They travel to Madinatul Munawwara and they spend some time in Madinatul Munawwara. There are many reasons stated as to why they went, but most probably the reason is that Hazrat Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to visit the grave of the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also to visit her cousins. But unfortunately, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madini Channel, it's said that during this journey, upon having arrived in Yathrib, later known as Madinatul Munawwara, that the beloved mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also fallen ill, and her illness continued and increased up until the beloved mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also passed away and has lost another parent of his. First, he had lost his father, and this was even before he was born. And now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had even lost his own mother. Hazrat Ayman radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, after having buried the beloved mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it has been stated that Hazrat Ayman radhiyallahu ta'ala anha had brought the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Makkatul Mukarrama. Now later we shall come to know that once when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled to Madinatul Munawwara and on his way back to Makkatul Mukarrama, he leaves at a place and he goes off the normal route. It said that he goes to Abwa. Now this is a place where the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, a place between Makkatul Mukarrama and Medina. In fact, it's on the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara, and this place is known as Abwa. This is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mother had passed away, and this place is still there where some people can even visit in this day and age. And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, many ashikani rasul, many lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those individuals from Dawat Islami, they go and they visit the blessed grave of the beloved mother of the greatest of mankind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It said that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he went off route and he visited the blessed grave of his mother, and all of the companions went along with the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And it has been stated that upon arrival, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not spoken, he had not said anything, he had not even informed anybody as to where he was going. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going and the companions silently, they followed behind him, not asking any questions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And upon having reached this blessed grave of Hazrat Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, it has been said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that so many tears flowed from the blessed eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that beard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been soaked by the tears of the Prophet ﷺ, and it was moist, and the beard of the Prophet ﷺ was wet. Subhanallah. The Prophet ﷺ no doubt loved his mother very much, and many of the memories would have come back to the Prophet ﷺ at that time. Ahmadiyya Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, so the Prophet ﷺ had now been orphaned a second time, and he was then looked after and lived in the house of his beloved grandfather. His name was Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his father's father. It has been stated that Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ, was in fact the head of the tribe of Banu Hashim. And there's not much mentioned about Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu when it comes to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, other than that after the age of 6, that Hazrat Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu then cared for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now if you look at the timeline, we can say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from early childhood, he spent 3 to 4 years with his foster mother Hazrat Halimah al-Sa'diyah radiallahu anha, and then only 2 years with his own blessed mother Hazrat Amina radhiyallahu anha up until the age of 6. And now we come to find that the next 2 years the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam up until the age of 8, he spends this time with his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. One incident which has been stated about Hazrat Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu anhu is that Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu anhu had his own platform, you can say, next door to the Kaaba itself, and this is something that nobody else has had before. For him being the head of the tribe of Banu Hashim, being the leader of the tribe, the chieftain of the tribe of the Banu Hashim, he had this right to do so. And he said that about this platform or whatever, some sort of throne or whatever it was, that nobody dared ever sit on this platform of Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu would spend some time there, and they would take meetings, they would have meetings on this platform. Even children were never permitted to sit on that platform. People feared to sit on that platform. It said that if any children were to run up and sit on that platform, then they would immediately be removed. So this was solely and exclusively for Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It has been stated that once the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had been running and he jumped onto that platform, and the people, upon having seen him, it said that they quickly rushed to grab the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also there, and Abdul Muttalib, he reprimanded them and he said to them, no, allow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to sit upon this platform. So from this we learn the love which was shared between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, that his grandfather would give preference to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over everybody else and over the rest of his children also, subhanallah. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the age of approximately 8, so when he was approximately 8 years old, it has been stated that now again the Prophet ﷺ had lost somebody, another person who played an important role in his life. He had lost his beloved grandfather, the leader and the chieftain of the tribe, Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had passed away. Now, as the Prophet ﷺ was brought up from the beginning of his life amongst a family who would many a time travel to Syria, the leaders of the tribe of Banu Hashim, after the passing away of the Prophet ﷺ's grandfather Abdul Muttalib, the Prophet ﷺ then went to live with his uncle also in Makkah al-Mukarramah, known as Abu Talib. Abu Talib had 3 sons, and one of them was extremely famous, known as Hazrat Ali, meaning Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had lived with his uncle, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had not been born up until that time. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been taken care by his uncle, it has been stated that his uncle would also show deep affection and love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam preference over his own children. It has been said that he would read and write, my dear sisters and brothers. But for the case of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet was never sent to any sort of school or even any individual to go learn how to read and write. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been granted a title which is known as Ummi. Now, Ummi could have two possible meanings. One is that the word Ummi is from Umm al-Qura, and this refers to Makkah al-Mukarramah. So, since the Prophet ﷺ had been born and spent most of his years in Makkah al-Mukarramah, this is one reason as to why the Prophet ﷺ was known as Ummi. Another possible reason could be that Ummi means the unlettered, meaning such a person who is capable of reading and writing, yet that individual did not have a teacher. So the Prophet ﷺ knew how to read and write, yet nobody had ever taught the Prophet ﷺ. And this could be the reason why the Prophet ﷺ, where throughout his whole lifetime, the Prophet ﷺ had never been sent to anybody to learn how to read and write. Nobody, being the mother, being the grandfather, being the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, nobody had taught the Prophet ﷺ how to read and write, yet the Prophet ﷺ was the best of the readers and the best of the writers and the best in the Arabic language even. It said that the Prophet ﷺ's eloquence was greater and unmatched. It was greater than that language of any other individual. So for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ is known as Ummi, the unlettered, meaning it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself who had taught the Prophet ﷺ how to read and write, and nobody else had taught the Prophet ﷺ anything. Now there are many reasons for this. One reason is that when you have a teacher, then that teacher is deserving of respect by you. And in a way, that teacher many a time has a higher rank than you. Now, no doubt there is no possibility whatsoever for anybody to possess a higher rank than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or for somebody to be deserving of the respect of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, or for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have to respect somebody else. There is nobody that possesses this rank over the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Another reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam could not have a teacher or could not have anybody else teach him is because when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam was at the age of approximately 40 years, then the Quran had been revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a man known not to have been taught how to read and write, if he was to receive the Quran, then this is a greater miracle. Whereas if the Prophet ﷺ had known how to read and write, then people could, although it doesn't make much of a difference because of the greatness and the eloquence of the Quran, yet people could accuse the Prophet ﷺ that he himself had written this. Why? Because such and such person may have taught the Prophet ﷺ to read and write. But no, my dear sisters and brothers in the channel, nobody had taught the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam how to read or even write. Similarly, many of the strange things which the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam had informed the people about, the ilm al-ghayb the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam had informed the people about, some people could have accused the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam as to have read these in previous scriptures. Yet, if the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam had not been taught by any man how to read or write, then how could they accuse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of reading these things in previous scriptures which were not open to the rest of the people or which were not available to the rest of the people, they could not make these accusations. So these are a few of the reasons as to why the Prophet ﷺ had been unlettered, why he could not be taught by any man how to read or write. Now, before we finish, there is one famous story I would like to leave you with. And this is one of the most famous stories during the early lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, during the youth of the Prophet ﷺ. It said that when the Prophet ﷺ was approximately 12 years of age, his uncle Abu Talib had taken him along with him to do business in Syria. When the Prophet ﷺ, along with his uncle and some other people, when they had traveled and on their way to Syria, it said that there was there a monk who was looking outside, and he had saw a beautiful vision, a vista. He had saw that a caravan was coming from the side of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Now this monk was somebody who was very learned in the previous scriptures, in the previous religions. It is said that he saw this caravan coming, and upon this caravan he could see a cloud. And it was quite strange because there were no clouds there on that day. But there was a cloud which was just covering and providing shade for that one caravan. So upon seeing this, he thought to himself, there really is something strange going on here. Maybe I should see as to who is traveling in this caravan. But who is so special amongst this caravan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for a cloud to give shade or provide shade for this caravan. So it is said that he invites them all to a meal. And when they all came, this monk had closely analyzed each individual. He kept a close eye on each one, but he did not see anything special in any of them. So he asked the people, is this all of you? Is there anybody from amongst your caravan who is missing? They said, yes, this is all of us, other than one child who we have asked to remain behind to look after the caravan. So this monk by the name of Buhayra, this monk, he calls for that one child too. And he asked for that child to also be brought and take part in the meal. Upon having seen the Prophet ﷺ arriving, he sees the nur of prophethood in the blessed forehead of the Prophet ﷺ, and he witnesses that this is the messenger and the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just to confirm, he continues to look and analyze the Prophet ﷺ, and he asks if he could see the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the shoulder, the back shoulder of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he removes the cloth, he sees the sign of prophethood on the blessed back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he testifies that this will be the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says to the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, who are you to this young child? The uncle replies, I am his father, Buhayra. He says, no, you cannot be his father, for indeed his father cannot be living. And then his uncle, he says, yes, you're correct. His father had passed away when he was still in his mother's stomach, and I am his uncle. So Buhayra tells Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he must immediately return him. He must sell all his, or he must take part in his business transactions and do them now, even before arriving in Syria, because he cannot take this child to Syria. He says to him that this child has many enemies. Other people who follow the previous scriptures, they may harm him. Upon understanding or upon witnessing that the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come to the Arabs, they may be jealous and they may try to harm him, so you must immediately return him back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ, along with his uncle, then travels back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Now, unfortunately, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, I have to leave you here. And inshallah, we shall continue with the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our next episode. But for now, my dear family brothers, continue to send the ruhs upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan. Mawla ya salli wa sallim.